Okay. So, for change, they're doing two shim and one shim. Try to do two shim and one shim. Think we can do it?
No.
Watch it. Yehuda ben Tavai, Vishim ben Shetach, Kiblu mehem. Yehuda ben Tavai, Omer. Al tas atzmach roko or chayada yoni. First statement is that a person should not advise, as nowadays you have lawyers, don't advise people in the din to set up their tainas. Because shehoyu balidin ma'inu lefanecho, it's talking to a dayan, when the people come in, regardless of who they are, you be'inecha kirishoyim. This is opposing to what we learned in our earlier Mishnah, that you have to always be done as chaver lechavskus, that's chaver. It's called order. But when you're in a court situation, people come in, the Chofetz Chaim against the stable boy, right? So if you're going to think, oh, this Chofetz Chaim is a stable boy, you're finished. You're not going to be able to hear straight, because of course the Chofetz Chaim is telling the truth, and it must be the stable boy who's lying.
That's
the judges. So the Mishnah tells us the requirement on a judge that he has to so remove himself from any pre-notion that everybody has to be equal. So why both are shown? Say both tzaddikim. Because we'll see maybe in a minute to clear, but the job of the judge is to come to the truth at all costs. And you have a much better chance of coming to the truth if you assume that they're both lying, and you assume they're both tzaddikim. Well, Sadiqim, you're being down the Chavskus, so you're not going to ask the right questions, you're not going to get to the bottom of it. So you have to, when they're coming in front of you for the din, you have to assume they're both Rishoyim. Rishin if Dorim Lefanecho, when they leave you, the din is over, they accept the din, they leave you, Benecha Kizikoyim. Kishakobu Leim Azadim. Other gears for the Ben Yonah's gears is even stronger. They were showing when they walk in, it's a wonderful place, it's court. Whoever walks in a tzaddik, walks in a rasha, and you walk out a tzaddik. That's a nice thing. Shekibu alayim as a din. See, that was one mission. Now, second mission. Shin ben shetach alayim, eh? Every marble lach verse 80. Goes together, these two mishnayos, we'll learn them together. That a person, a judge, the edim come in, so you have to go through extensive chakira. Even there's the basic halacha of chakira, the seven questions that edim need to be asked. But beyond that, this is really bedikas, a person beyond the basic questions, what time, what place, so forth, a person has to ask as many questions as he can in order to get to the truth, to find exactly what happened. Even though you're going to have to go through lengthy conversation because you're trying to, take it from the top, let's go through it again. What was it that you said? And this again. So you're going through the lengthy conversation. So it tells us, you have to keep yourself on top of what you're saying, every word. Why? That the Edom are going to be able to figure out from the path of the questions, from the angle the questions are coming from, what's going on in your head, what are you thinking, what are the problems, they'll know which way to watch out. So they'll be able to gear themselves according to what you ask. Okay, what do we learn? Okay, we learned too much nice. What's in it for us? Anybody going to help me? What we got from this question? Yeah. Right, let's try one at a time. Let's start from the top again. Let's understand this idea. This is something that is very foreign to those of us who were brought up in modern Western society. What's wrong? The Gemara says in an example that Rabbi Yochanan, a relative of Rabbi Yochanan, had an almona. She had a court case. She came to Rabbi Yochanan to ask her advice how she should deal with it. And he gave her advice. And then he said, he had charotas. say the wrong thing. First, he thought that he's mechuyev to yipsocha al tisale. The person has to take care of his relatives. He has a responsibility. And then he says, no, still shouldn't have done it because sinu asatzmenu kol orchei adayon. So here we see quite clearly that we're talking even Rabbi Yochanan didn't tell her any false tainus, no hanky-panky. Right? Straight. She told her, you don't know, it's so clear the case. She doesn't know how to make tainus. She goes to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells her, sets it up for according to the truth. No, just assisting her in setting up her case that the dayan should hear what he needs to hear and that the case would be able to come out in the way that would be clearest and best for her benefit. So I keep thinking, so what's wrong with it? Our minds tell us the opposite. That this poor lady, well, she's a Talmudic scholar. What does she know about dealing with court cases? Right? If you leave her out there on her own, you're going to chew her up. The guy that she was up against, she's going to come in with kindness and all kinds of things. So she went for advice. She needs some advice. Now, what's wrong? Anybody care for a triad? What's wrong? What did Mishnah tell us? Now, what did Rabbi Yochanan do wrong? What's bad? Where's the fallacy? Anything wrong?
It could be that the person helping you is always somehow no gay or kin. I mean, it's going to stick. Count the tainas or tainas into the client's mouth that aren't going to be nemes. The person's not
going to be.
Yeah, Yochanan. Anybody.
Can I ask about maybe a basic question here? Who is this Mishnah addressing? It would seem like the Mishnah is addressing the dying.
That's why.
Not to be helpful.
That's why I brought the more from Rabbi Yochanan. They were not only a dying, so that's easier to understand. But the dying shouldn't get involved in assisting one over the other. All right, that's partial. We're trying to reject that and the Gemara rejects it for the simple reason that the Mishnah doesn't say, the Lashon over here is not saying is that it's not a good idea. We look down, it's a frown. Altas atzmakakorike adayon. Right? A dayan that gets involved, it's not a frown, he's a Rosha. He has to be thrown out of court. He has to be deep, whatever you do to him. Derobed. A dayan that gets involved with assisting one over the other. It's a Rosh Hashanah. That's not al tasek lachei adayon. Therefore, they bring the Gemara says that this is referring not just to a dying portion.
Rabbi Yochanan's a relative here.
He was not the judge.
But he was a relative.
He was a relative to the lady. The lady went.
What about the fact that he was a relative? Did he have some kind of abuse?
He wasn't judging.
He wasn't the judge.
He wasn't the judge.
She was going to judge in the local court. Before, on the way to court, she stopped into Rabbi Yochanan's house, say, Rabbi Yochanan, right, no, your first cousin, help me out, I have this court case, and this yo-yo shine still from me the karka, and, you know, just help me set it up, my tainus, this is the case, this story, and he helped her out.
The Mishnah says, to begin with, there shouldn't be like a cha'ofei dayan. First of all, it doesn't say that the ofei dayan are there. It says that the be like that. What is an ofei dayan? Right away, it's somebody who has to take a side, whether it's for or against, but he's taking a side. If it's for, he's going to gear and steer everything because of the for. That's the side he took. If it's against, then that's his job. The one that's against is not any better or any worse than the one that's for. So we know what the judgment was. And even then, he's not any worse or any better because he did his job. He did his job. Maybe the mission is not this. Don't prejudge anything. But very often, by giving her advice, already put himself into the position of being the defender. Maybe for whatever reason, she shouldn't be defended.
Now, outside of court, if it wouldn't be a case if they're going to court, Rabbi Yochanan would have a responsibility to defend his relative.
To help, not to defend.
Defend.
To defend?
Yeah. If they weren't going to court, that's his responsibility to stand on the side of his relative. That's
if he would have
more brains, I'll sort out this out.
So maybe if Rabbi Yochanan would have been her defender in court, then he wouldn't have done anything wrong. Because he would have taken it upon himself.
That is tricking. Chiddush of the Gemara was that even though he was not in court, he wasn't the judge, and he didn't go to court, just stopped over his house on the way to court. But since he was involved...
Yeah, but in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, it could be the same, very similar to what we said about the Chavetz Chaim. Even if the judge or anybody else knows that Rabbi Yochanan was the one that supplied her with the emes and this and that, that also could be another...
Maybe.
Well, he being a judge guided her how the other judge would ask her questions, with two things.
It's as if somebody's helping you carry out in advance the procedures that are really part. It's like you're setting up a mitzvah in a person's mind. This is tribal out. It's not real anymore. It's not the. It clouds the. Which is exactly what the way is. Clouds the emes.
Okay, you're getting closer. Getting warm.
See, I think that maybe what the mission is trying to say is what happens when two Jews have an argument. Two Jews have an argument, they should try and work it out with Ahava. It shouldn't come to litigation, shouldn't come to having his brain into the world that you guys have been, which is what a court situation is all about. And that's why the mission is trying to tell us that they come in, they're really Rasham. Why are they Rasham? Because why do they have to get to this matzah in the first place? Why couldn't it have been worked out between two people without having to go to the Dayan and get to that? So here maybe what Yochanan, in a sense, was inspired to this whole talich of a process of Midas HaDin, when in fact he might have spent his energies trying to work it out between the Yochanan as opposed to supporting the...
Your point is valid, and that idea in the Mishnah we're going to get to, you're right. There is this idea that they're both Rishayim. And we'll get to that. It's a very valid point. But it's not sufficient to understand the idea of Alfiya Koach Adayon. Rishon is explaining an idea of Tzedek Mishpot and saying, in terms of bringing out the clarity of justice, although on the surface in Western societies based on this, it seems to be the right and within the realm of justice to have assistance, we're saying, no, it's not good. It's against. Rav Yochanan had to refuse his relative and tell them, I'm sorry, I can't get involved. Go to court, the courts will take care of it. But she doesn't know the tainus, maybe she's not sick. And there are even halakhos like that in court. Court has a responsibility, psak picha le'ilah. There are times when the court not only is allowed to, but is mechuyiv to put tainus in the voice of on one of the sides. If it's a taina, that the person should taina, and there's a reason that he is not knowledgeable enough to taina it, like Yisraimim or Almana, in certain cases, then the court has to suggest the possibility. And without the... Unless the one that they suggested for his benefit states, no, that's not the case, then the power, the burden of proof that this taina is not remains on the other side, just as if they would have said it. But this is an exceptional case. This is the case of a person who is incapable of defending themselves. Yeah?
Toin Rabbanim.
Toin Rabbanim. Right. This mission is saying that Toin Rabbanim is bad news.
Right?
We'll get to negative.
Perhaps that.
Big frown.
The decision has to be based on pure halacha, so it's up to the dayanim to elicit all the information to evaluate it according to the halacha, the way it's supposed to come out. And any of these other things, again, create some kind of predisposition maybe to avoid that. I mean, it's in the hands of the dayanim to bring it out. It's not. It has nothing to do with the people, really. They just have to sort of show up. And
so here we have an idea that the basis of justice in terms of Klai Yisrael's approach to justice and the civil law are coming on two totally different bases. The basis of civil law is based on the fact that since we have a society, we have people that are going to get in all kinds of problems, so we have to have systems established and we make rules. This is accepted, this is not accepted, this will go, this won't go. It's time is like this, it's time like that. Lately here in Israel, they like to make shows from courts. We've got to show how a lot of things can depend on all kinds of technicals. You can get wrapped up in all kinds of technicalities, and then things will fall. That is based, it even may be proper, there may be a responsibility of a civil court to do so, because they don't have the power of absolute truth. They have no way of attaching to state that what the court will say is, in fact, the truth. They have no basis for that. It's only a system, the best we can do. We know that there's a possibility. I read somewhere, somebody made a statement, I think some judge here in Israel, that he'd rather have 10 people that should be in jail free than one person that should be free in jail. So that's his personal opinion. I don't know if that's true. Depends what they're in jail for. If it's tax evasion, maybe. If it's murder, I'd rather have those 9 murderers in jail together with the 1 innocent people and save the 9 lives of the people they're going to kill tomorrow. So the balances that you have to make in terms of civil law and the level of merit of civil law is based on how good a quality of a system. It's always an approximation. We do the best we can, and that's our responsibility. There are no absolute proofs very often, most of the time. Most court cases, if there would be absolute points, they usually never get to court. There's usually a lot of gray area. And now there's all kinds of judgments that have to be made based on all kinds of assumptions in the name, all kinds of rules, what is evidence, what's not evidence. And there's always a tremendous gray area which the courts and the system that the courts are based on have to deal with. This is the number one factor that differs from a court of a Beis Din. Ki mishpat Elokim hu. Nitzar Elokim v'taskil. Our courts are a representation and an expression of the judgment of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't make mistakes. The system of a court, this has nothing to do with you brought up onto Rabbanis, we'll see what they are in a minute. We'll get there. A real Din Torah, where we have that level of a shofet, of a dayan, which requires smicha, we don't have nowadays, where his judgment is the word of God. He doesn't make mistakes. There's no such possibility. To the point that we'll say later, that if they come in and they accept the judgment, they are by definition tzaddikim. Because they have accepted the judgment of the absolute truth. If they'll go against this court case, there's no such thing as an ir'ur in court. While in every proper system of courts, there has to be. Why? Because he's just human being. We need somebody to check on him too. So there's always 1, 2, 3, they have to stop somewhere, so we have to make it a Supreme Court also. Otherwise, you can go on forever. Right? But if it's gone through 1, it's gone through 2, it's gone through 3. If that 3 people, that's pretty safe. Right? But just 1 judge, maybe that was his opinion, maybe it's a different opinion. Maybe he was slighted this way, maybe he had some pre-notions. You know, there's no such thing as Yerur in a Din Torah. After they have the Mishpat Kel, what's the Ma'ar afterwards? There's no possibility of Yerur. The system of court is a totally different system. The judge is empowered through the Torah to represent the Ribono Shel Olam. And he goes through the process that the Torah teaches us of determining the truth. And he will, with the siyata d'shmaya that the dayan has, come to the right decision. The Mor brings all kinds of cases where the dayan made the din, then new evidence was brought out which would show that the din was wrong, and then new evidence came in to show that it really was right, but for reasons that he didn't know. This is an idea of in the dayan al mashim verse. But maybe somewhere in Yehupas there are 2 aliens sticking around and no evidence that we don't know and really making the wrong thing. The Ribono Shel Olam looked at that. the Vaishnam runs courts. And therefore, we don't have to worry about the poor almona is going to come in and her tainis won't come out right. The Vaishnam will give the dayan the ears to hear the through the tears of the almona what emes there is to need to be heard and what needs to be rejected if it needs to be rejected. The process of establishing truth through Chakira is not done on the Toyanim. It's done on the Edim. When we don't have Edim, if there's not solid evidence, with all of the halachas that we have in the Toyanim, it's a very extensive part of Shas, Shulchan Aruch. There are a lot of cases where you can't pass. Or there's all kinds of halachas. What do you do when we don't know the facts? We can't prove it. When you get to court cases and determining questions of ritzifus, or all kinds of halachas which are questions of punishment, a lot of times it seems we'll get away with it. We don't come. I can't. What's going to be? He's going to get away with it. So we don't have to worry about that. Because we are not the final judgment. We are only the Shluchi D'Rachmano who gave us the power within the limitations of the Torah to make judgments according to specific laws. Within monetary matters, the powers of a judge and the capability of making decisions are very, very broad. When it comes to punishment, the more serious the punishment, the more restricted are his powers. Is that, what's going to be? Is going to get away with it? The Marshal took it. The Gemara says that now we don't have Dayanim. So the Gemara says, although the din in Beis Din of the Dalet Mises are bottle, but the Dalet Mises aren't bottle. The person was supposed to get skila, falls down a cliff. Now they call it a car accident. The person was supposed to get Srefa. Wait, what is going to happen? Take off your paper. Supposed to get malchus. Whatever a person needs coming, he'll get it. There's no escaping. It's only a process of a court that's given over. In monetary law is a very broad realm, which whatever the Rabbanim Shlom v'Chachmosei determined, that man is able with the kelim that he gave him to determine absolute justice. There's no error in it. There's no error in this system. Whatever the Vaishnav gave over in the hands of the judge is absolute. There's no problem. The Bezdin Shalmato, this is going out to extend to the point that you already brought up, that the Bezdin Shalmato is a extension of the Bezdin Shalmato. And when you stand in front of the Beis Din, you're standing in front of the Minyasidin. Minyasidin doesn't make mistakes. There's no possibility of a mistake. There's a process which determines that the judge has to go. And assuming that the judges were appointed properly, and those who were appointed were capable of doing their job, they will represent the Koyach of the Minyasidin of the Rabbanishlam. And therefore, they will determine the truth. This is one of the understandings, it says in many of the Sforim, why the Heter, Mechiyah, that we have in the Dayan to look at him as Vishoyim. Vishnu are the one who's at fault here, and understand why he's a Russian. But the one that's in the right, why is it? Call a Yidin Russian. There are many, many cases, many stories about tzaddikim that even when they were very clearly in the right, they wouldn't go to Beis Din Rishumai, even they had to lose everything. But the Mishnah says, I'm going to have to stand 2 hours in court, and during that time I'm going to have a stempel on my back, Rasha, Michael Tavis, can't take the money. Don't leave. They wouldn't do that. Try to settle out of court, whatever you need to do, show us, different. Because this is real. It's not just a process of setting up. We need a system. We need what to do. All right, so we'll do the best we can. This is for real. This is coming in from the Mishnah of Rashi. Even the person who is in the particular din right now, the tzedek, but you come in the front of the din of the Rabbi Shalom as an individual, it's not such a same thing. It's not such a favorable thing. It's famous Yidua, Isha Shunamis, Alisha. Isha Shunamis, and Isha Tzedekis, I mean, you've heard it. Alisha is stayed by him. She has Yeshlecha Dry El Hamelech. As I'll say, the Melech is a brilliant Shalom Saratsova, is whatever the Saratsova are, but that Malochim that are called Saratsova in the Kemara. But Elisha says, won't we put in a good word for you? I have connections. Elisha, when he says he's going to put in a good word for the Shalom, we'll receive it. There's no outs and doubts about it. She says, Pesach Omer Yishevs. One, pull me out of my soul and they should judge me separate. Michael says, leave me alone. Listen, standing in front of a court, a real court, is standing in front of the mirror. A person who willingly takes that upon himself and is not afraid to get involved is an aspect of riches, even if you're right. And therefore, we don't get involved with mitzvah. But if we did, even though maybe we shouldn't, but we did, or when they didn't ask us, not in court. Sometimes they don't ask us what we want. Comes. And we've been processed from the mitzvah. A rosha that goes through the process of the mitzvah and comes out itself. This is what we're learning from the Mishnah on this level, that don't be korveyad yonim, because the din process of the Torah doesn't need assistance from the outside. It's okay. Let her say whatever will come out of her mouth, it'll work out. We'll be the same. There's no need. Don't need to lend a hand. This is probably the most truthful aspect and the deeper aspect of understanding the level of Mishnah, and as we've gone through it, we see how the whole Mishnah follows. It follows the whole Mishnah of this idea. I am not sure if the Mishnah even thought of it, because I don't know if the Mishnah even dreamed the system of justice, in quotes, that they have nowadays. But it's assumed now in the American court system that whoever hires more and better lawyers wins. It's assumed to be rush. Nobody ever thought differently. Most of the time. And if you can't, so then there are ways to fill in the gaps. But nobody even had a hamimina that's dependent in most cases on anything else, especially in financial matters. Caught a murder, also it depends. They have such difficulties, I read an article once, such difficulties with organized crime, drug dealers, because even if they finally catch them, they have so much money, they hire all these lawyers. And they tag such a legal tangle out of the mess that, so you caught him now. One of the Rishonim explained, Kiorche Adayon, is if you bring up all these tainis, the whole system of courts will get schlepped out. That's Inu Hedin. If you let the people come in, short and sweet, they'll say what they have to say. The judge will come deal with it, will get down to the truth, and the life will go on. But that legal things can go on for years. The Rishon said it 800 years ago. He had very good foresight. So, the system of judgment and legal systems has gotten so dependent mainly on who the lawyer is. Sometimes how good the lawyer is in getting you into a judge, that would be favorable in this case. And it's much more dependent who the lawyer is than what the time is. Except in the rare exception, you mentioned it already, so I'll mention it too. Torah Rabbani. The Torah Rabbani is a quote unquote Jewish, something Jewish about it, form of a lawyer. The other thing is, instead of doing a civil law, it's called Torah law. It's not. It just pretends to be. There are exceptions to the rule, but they're the exception. Generally speaking, and there's no fault of the Bezdin, it's just very limited. We don't have the power of Bezdin now. Most Bezdins don't even make, they don't even, the Chatzila tell you they're going to do din. And so they're going to make Tzara. And that sometimes is a very unfair thing. I had a story not a little over a year ago, but there was a fellow who was perfect using the system. He would go and gouge people in business deals, get into a fight, bring them to court, and lose. But he would get a third, he would get a quarter. Mm-hmm. Until his first Portuguese, there's a guy who's hanging around the business. He was here 2 months ago. He put a couple of stories together, he brought them to court. And then there was no more. Then they have different forms of what to do in such cases. Special things. So that's a rarity. Even if we're not talking about such an evil person who went chatchila to refuse the process that there is. But sometimes it's simply not fair. The person doesn't have the capability. There are all kinds of technical, legal requirements. Because it's also a system of bidding, of doing the best we can. Some very close, as best as we can, relationship to Torah law, and then in British law. So it's a little better. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch still requires us that we're not allowed to go to a British court, Israeli British court, and something that's based on Roman law. You have to go to a Bezdin, even though it's not a real Bezdin. But the systems are not the same system as it's established. And here, I'll even avoid that the person walks in there without a good Torah company. Chas v'shalom, somebody ever gets into that situation, that you have to go through a Bezdin, for whatever matter. First thing, avoid it, like, not because you're doing Russia, because it's going to cost you a lot of gezunt. Plague would be much better choice. But if you do have to get in there, you better make sure you get the best Torah Rabbani that there is. Don't be friends with him, because they might go into the problem of the last mission. But deal with it, because otherwise you may get into a lot of trouble. This is a big, big, big event that's a fact of life.
It's an amazing thing, but I always learn these missionaries and all this happens. How did you get to me? But I bought a place before the show came. I had Bezdin before this thing always. So I just went for Bezdin.
Did you?
Yep.
Did you enjoy it?
As a matter of fact, I did. Tremendous experience. Very interesting. I just want to, I don't know, rub this in verification, but it was clear that they said it was going to be like an arbitration thing, okay, and we could try to come to some kind of arrangement, negotiate. I want you to know that first I went to one Bezdin, they didn't want to handle it. They sent me to another Bezdin. The other Bezdin said, okay, we'll handle it. But then the defendant didn't want that Bezdin, so I ended up in a third Bezdin. These were major places, okay? And in each case, they all made it very clear it wasn't going to be this. It's going to be some version of this. I didn't have a lawyer. Turns out, in this case, I was claiming to get somebody else, and it did come out the way I claimed. But it could have been the other way. It was very interesting. Bezdin, however, did seem to have in it this feeling, at least from you. I mean, there was this feeling, at least in the way questions were being asked and information was being elicited, and certain emotional things were not really. I mean, that's why I think it was a very interesting experience for me. It wasn't like a typical, you know.
Very
okay. That's what I'm saying. It's very interesting.
Very clear. There are Dayanim.
Yeah.
Okay. In all the different Bezdins that are tremendous.
Just worked out.
But the system is such.
So I can see that it's not limited
always,
application.
That's not always the case.
No, I knew it was a limited application. Unfortunately,
experience has shown that your experience is the exception, not the rule.
I also tried to stay out of the situation a long time, but having arbitration and various other things, defendant for a long period of time, but I was getting responses and was totally impossible. Nothing happens. Would it be like a bid?
It's generally advised in any business deal, even signing a contract for an apartment, that a clause be put in for a requirement of arbitration by one particular person that you sign on Mayroche. And that you can sign on it that each one is responsible to. That has a different halacha completely. That's a proper form of coming to a pshara or a halacha. And that you're not a Russian. It's a very good, very good system. There, then we may have an end of the Sat and Ishmael coming out to the truth, because they're both coming into it, not looking to use the system, but having actually a proper source of determination, so the person always has to know that maybe he's wrong also. Whenever a person gets involved, your side of the story looks that way to you, but you may not be seeing the other side properly. You're not a Christian. How can you be a Christian? It's helpful to know. Wind will push, will come to shove, and we won't be able to work it out. We put it somewhere where everybody says goes and finishes. The person accepts that l'chadchila, then he's accepted the din before he walked in. And he's a tzaddik before he walked in. When it's not a court situation. And that's l'chadchila, what a person should do, and all arrangements when it's capable, when it's possible to be done. Shouldn't a shetach of an elimer, a few words in the second Mishnah, elimar b'lach b'rasa edi. The idea which is important to us, here we use a negative idea for benefit. The Pasuk in Mishnah says, mar b'loshen, let's see, I bring it in. The more a person speaks, if a person is going to speak extensively on anything, the chances of it being all kosher, but kosher words, so in other cases we tell a person, watch it, don't talk so much. In this case we use this idea, if these Aiden are not saying the truth, or are claiming more than they know, they're taking the partial information they know and they add a little spice, make it sound solider than it really is. They can get the first time through, the second time through, they may be able to get through it. Especially in the second case I mentioned, not when they're straight out liars. The worst problem with aid is the ones that are straight out liars, it never happened, they were never there, they're very easy to catch. It's very hard to hold to a story that you totally made up. Especially the way Fakir works, is you need two Aiden, we don't interrogate them together. You take them into two separate rooms, and he doesn't know what the other one said. It's only as much as they prepared. You can always take them beyond what they prepared. The problem is when they did see something. But there's a human fallacy, there's a problem, that sometimes people are not exact enough. And there are processes like speed reading, which they train your eye to pick out particular words and guess the rest. Fill it in. The imagination can fill it in. You don't have to bother reading all the words, because if you're trained well, you can do a pretty good job, and it won't make a difference if you're a little bit off. You'll get the basic idea, and it's sufficient. We all do that in everything we see. Whenever we see something, we see whatever aspect of it is most important to us, or makes the greatest roshim to us. And there are other things are get fuzzier as they go to the sides. And when we call it, you can't see. We see a car accident. So most eyes are going to be centered on the impact. Or if there's blood, it's going to be on the blood. That's its human nature. You saw a car accident. You saw a car accident. And the impact is a very astonishing thing. That's solid. You'll never forget it. But now, exactly what happened the 30 seconds beforehand, how that car came out of the intersection, the other one, exactly what speed they were and what angle they were, that's going to be fuzzy. Because even though at the time you did see it, you saw it. You were there. You were staring at it. It's true. We can even bring witnesses that saw you saw it. But now, to say a person say, well, I saw the impact, but I didn't see the car. So the human mind doesn't work that way. The human mind fills in the details. And sometimes it fills in based on that fuzzy memory, and it brings out that memory that was there. And sometimes it fills in the blanks. Color by number. I have an outline, I fill it in. And so I made a little mistake. It was blue. No, it wasn't blue, it was black. But so either the process will refresh their memory, and she will bring, if they'll be pressed against it, they'll be able to bring out in absolute clarity what they see, and then you'll be able to accept it. And in the case that we're most interested in making sure, if Chas V'Shalom there was some filling in here, and that it's not accurate, the things that they're saying, pulling through the grind, they have to say it again and say it again and say it again. Something that's really there, not filled in, will be there every time you go through it. Something that was filled in will get confused. You go again, back and forth, this way. What about take it from the top? We'll get confused. And this is a requirement we see to how exact a clarity an aid has to have in order to be a witness. Because an aiding is giving absolute fact. It's not a... Any aid that you have to have a deal on, whether it is acceptable what he says, it's not acceptable what he says, it's fine. Not even according to having a... Get this thing, it looks like a... Is it acceptable this person says that he recognizes, this person says that he recognizes. It is acceptable, it's not acceptable. If there would be questionable element in through this type of criteria, if it's acceptable, then for sure it's not acceptable. Because even though that is a process determining some type of circumstantial type of evidence, probability, that's not absolute truth. The type of edus that can bring into a court of Torah is fact, solid. This is it. It's not an edus. Then we have all kinds of locals when we don't have edus. We know how to do that too. But edus in the court has to stand up to the framework of what you're doing. This is court. Court doesn't fuzzy, there's no fuzzy areas. This ends. It did. 100%. Not 98. 100%. Down to the fuzzy details. Says that you have to ask him things that are really not important. Right? You saw a knife, yeah? What was he wearing? What did he have in his pocket? What was sticking out? So if he says he doesn't know, it's not okay to tell. He says, this is what I know. I saw the knife go in. I don't remember whether the handle was plastic or metal or whether it was carved or not. Fine, you don't have to know whether the handle was carved or not. But if you say it was a black handle and it was a white handle, what's the difference with black and eye? But the knife did go down, and this guy did see it. He killed him. It's the difference whether he killed him with a white handle or a black handle. It's not it. It is 100% solid. So if you aid is capable of sorting it out 100% and saying that the knife went in, no question, correct. Right? Black handle carved, the black handle not carved, I don't know. That's fuzzy. I don't know. So, so he carves down the lines and said, my aides come from here to here. Here's the picture I don't know. And not to the level that's called aides. Fine. We can take that little piece. But if the lines by him are fuzzy, and with this type of hakira, we'll be able to bring him over that line. We'll step over one line somewhere. So all the chances are, and so Kiva said, in especially in more difficult requirements of dealing with fushes, if we put through a very, very extensive and well thought out chakira, almost nobody can stand up. So he says, Yocha liftos, follow the manager. We'll be able to judge that. Fine. Baruch, I'm still here. I'll take it. We don't have to worry about what's going to be. There's going to be rates from running away. However, to whatever level the Baruch Hashem did give it to our responsibility, and we do have the basis, then we can't say the Baruch Hashem's going to take care of it. Because if we should have done it, then the Baruch Hashem won't. If it was our responsibility to make sure that these rates were not running around, and we didn't want to get involved, then the Baruch Hashem won't take it. You want the rates come around? You didn't want to take care of it? See what your society is going to look like. You cook the soup. That's the one of it. So these are the halachas which are most basically teaching Dayanim. These are Mishnayos of Dayanim. So we put two together because they're not so directly negated to us. However, every Mishnah, every halacha, even something that's not directly negated to a person, Rabban teaches us, the Yegeser Rabban, that every time a person learns whatever he's learning, he closes the sefer. So if you're learning Hilchos Dayanus, first you have to learn Dayanus. While you're learning it, you're talking about a Dayan. But when you close the sefer, then you're supposed to sit back and say, is there anything in this that can I can apply to myself? So we did it with the sefer open. We tried, even though these Mishnayos are basically teaching Dayanus, the rules of Dayanus, how to deal with the case, the determination of the Eidos and the Tayonu properly. We're trying to get some segment that would be here to us also from this Mishnah.
Do you have any more questions on the
If you ask me why they said it and not somebody else, no, I didn't find anything on that. However, if you want to ask me, we made a statement, I forgot to mention it. We made a statement in the beginning, it's based on the morale. The morale explains that all of these groups are one Ahava, one year. First one was the Nasi. He says an Indian that relates to Ahava, the Duz. And the second one is the Av Bezdin, and he says what's relates to the place, I say, the year, the don'ts. So the round still has the question here, it doesn't work. The first one, Yehuda ben Tavai, says what you shouldn't do. Don't make yourself glorified by Yahweh. And the Shin ben Shetach, the second one, says, have you marveled glorified what you should do? So seems to be the first. So, I'll slip a quick one on us. There's more of a giga. And the more of a giga, when it's going through the different zugos, it says that there's a machloikis, but the rabbanon say that Yehuda ben Tabai is the Av Bezdin, and Shin ben Shaphach was the Nasi. Some type of an explanation of why they were reversed. So he says, no, if it's, so you think it's a kashmir? It's just an ace card. And he says, even according to the Chachamim, the Rebbe, who says that it's the way we have it, that it's the Yehuda ben Tabai was the Nasi, and Shimon ben Shetach was the Bezdin. So he says, the way he explains it, similar to what we discussed, that although the surface is don'ts, and here it's his do's, but the Alkas Atzmakor Fe'adayonim is really a positive. It's not telling you, the point is not what not to do. It's telling us the power, the positive power of, as he's saying, trust the court system. What the Mishnah is telling us, right, is know the power of the court system, because the Rabban Yishon is involved. When you go to court, now you're going to the Rabban Yishon, and therefore, don't worry about it. true, it's telling us in a roundabout way. It says that if they come, they're Rishayim. That would be aspect here. But the Mishnah is not addressing the person and telling us don't come, but it's giving us the greatness, the positive understanding of the greatness of what a court is, and that's possible. On the second Mishnah, it's telling us how to deal with Shakronim. It's dealing with the negative. So if you have Shakronim, how are you going to have that? So it's telling us that number one is that you have to go through use the negative, usual negative idea of call it the but here use that for our benefit. And the second is that even though so here's a real Yira case. This is called the case of Yira, where you have to use a power, but what? So here you're using Roiv Dvorim, and you want to trick, you want their Pesha to come out. So then the Mishnah continues, but if you're gonna have to speak a lot. You want them to speak a lot, you're gonna have to, so you have to watch it also, because the puzzle is gonna apply to you too. So you have to use it one handed. You have to speak a lot, but the and through that bring out from them that if you'll be married by Lakhar Sayyidim, you'll bring out the truth. Yes.
I was thinking of whatever to come to it. You probably still will. But just in case you don't, I have a question.
Okay.
The Maror that is brought down in the name of Shimon ben Shetach. You said also before that you're based on some mistakes. Some mistakes. So have the words that happened, the famous Rashi, with the whole mice of Shimon ben Shetach and the whole business of it. So how does that stand?
No, he killed an 8 Eva. Shimon ben Shetach killed an 8 Eva. Killed an 8 Eva, a witness that was an 8 Sheker. He was an 8 Sheker, he was an 8 Zayman. But only one of them was Nizam. The halacha is that you can't punish the 8 Zayman unless you get both of them. That was a very mistake.
Witches.
Right. What was it? Which commodity?
Maybe she
should
bring the words of heaven and just bring it up.
Yeah, what did it say? Just
like you say. That he brought him on a rainy day to Kishuv. They finished off the Mufashefels. And they turned him around. And that's why, I mean, that's why it makes sense. Well, this is the Zora and the Barah. They turned around and did a eating zoning on the sun, and they finished them off.
So if that's the case that you're asking, so I don't see the relationship to this mission at all.
No, I see the relationship. Yeah. Because he says over here, we should let the shakir. So maybe it was from experience, that's what he's saying. That's how I see it. But
that wasn't talking directly to something that happened in the case. Shimon Shetach was also one that happened in court. Who was a judge and he made a mistake? That was a kasha. That's what you're going to ask. I'm not looking at it, but I don't see the relationship because that wasn't something in court.
So what was your case about?
About my case? Should I just bring up the court instead of just talking outside?
If I'm not mistaken, Shimon ben Shetach was the one who made a mistake in halacha and he killed an 8 Ephod, who was an 8 Sheker. Not according to the halacha. What? No. Before. 8 Zayim.
And what was the answer to the.
So the question is that a court doesn't make mistakes. And here we have a case of court made a mistake.
It is the word. I think this is the word Bacchus. It says. That brings out what happened in Jewish religions, whether you killed the defendant or it didn't come before you killed him, if it had come where you already killed the person, you don't, even though you know that the Edom Zom, you don't kill the Edom Zom. And if they come beforehand, you kill the Edom Zom. So not sure if it's Rambam or something. So, but they, if they ate themselves, right?
Yeah, so it's all fine.
So what, it, what does that have to do with the...
The cow over here...
Kill? No, so it goes into the whole thing, that the tofu wouldn't have allowed the defendant to be killed had he not deserved. I mean, that's the absolute truth. That, that even though they deserve to be king, they already did something. So what I'm saying is that there is an Indian that the, a mistake could seemingly be made in a din. Here,
so the armor portion explained this way, that in truth, once he did the court case, you know, he killed them, even if afterwards, like you say, that the Rama might get the relation, if they went through the court and it happened, then he had it coming for him. So that's in terms of this fellow that died. He killed him. He died. If he died through a court, that means the bunch of water him dead. But the dying, the red casitus, that's good for him. But I still made a mistake. And that if he needs to be died, then die, then get killed, I'll be dead. That'll be my mistake. The fact that a bunch of brought that it should be done through a halter, that it's describes over there as whole true, but it's a mistake in the law. Edom come and they admit that they lied after the president to save the Zakris when the regular after he took him back. I wish I could even die. Same type of idea what we just said now. What's the reason why we don't say, well, they made a mistake back to din. Din doesn't go back. If it was a proper din, there's no going back. Now, you did something wrong because you should have made a, you should have done, now you see that you made a mistake, so you have to pay up in your pocket. If it was a mistake, and the whole thing we just say it was nothing, then change it. And, you know, all right, so take it back. So if it was a mistake, so it depends. If it was a mistake in which the Gemara says, if it was a mistake in the Mishnah, they figure out halacha and open halacha, so then it's not a psak. It wasn't a din and goes back. If it wasn't shikul hadas, so it doesn't go back. Because once the decision was made, it was made. Now, as far as he can't go to Beis Din and claim from the other person, you have your money. And even though they passed in that you should get it, but now it's a mistake, give it back. Shiva Das Bezdin made it, so Pesach, that's it, he keeps it. But now he can go to the Dayan and says, you now hold that you made a mistake in Shikur Hadas. So with Dvarecha, you owe me money. But the court, the case that was decided.
So, was it Din Ma'amita?
I don't want to get to come here right now. There's La'amita and the Emes La'amita. Means that, again, I gave this example before. There are times where, for the reason that he passed and it wasn't right, but the Bunchen brought it out this way, the more brings cases like this. There was other information where the Mice, it was right. That doesn't factor yet the Dayan for making a mistake. But that's a question between the Dayan and the person. Not between the two.
So what you're saying is that whatever the din was, it was my idea. It was supposed to be that, right?
Right. As long as it's within the halacha, how it should be done.
But if the din for the halacha or
the din, then that disqualifies the din.
Or girl for some reason or
another. Right. Then someone wasn't a din.